Hey guys, welcome to Listen Bitch Presents. Tell me why you're special. This is the arena where we don't just build businesses, we build lives. Because the truth is, a lot of people are chasing success, but they're not building stability, they're not building freedom, they're not building anything that actually lasts. And when you've come from adversity, you don't just want success, you want something different, something that is rooted. Something meaningful, something that your family can stand on. And God just doesn't bring you through hard lessons to survive them. It's not a fun little test. Okay. He brings you through them to allow you to build something with them. So if you've ever felt called to create more than just money, this conversation is going to speak to you. Today's guest is Bruna Pabon. She's a business owner, a speaker, and someone building legacy through faith and family and entrepreneurship. Give me your elevator pitch. Who are you? What do you do? And what makes you special?
Hi, so as my name is Bruna. I am an entrepreneur. Originally from Brazil. Grew up with a very rough beginning, as you said. Resilience, I think, has been the number one thing that has kept me going. I'm very stubborn. That plays out well in our favor. So, I've built several businesses. I'm on my third business now. My husband and I are in real estate together. We are off Myrtle Beach area, so we help people buy, sell all different areas of their life. I have been a cleaning business owner. I have cleaned several toilets for a living. That's how I got started. Also been in house building. I've done so many different things in the past years, but over, I agree with what you said. I think at the moment, what has changed for me is that I no longer see my job as a job or like a form of income. It's more of how can I teach others to grow what I have grown over the years? Because truly, that's the legacy we leave, right? I can't take all this in the grave with me. So, we want to leave something long lasting, just like I have built.
Right. Your journey wasn't necessarily traditional. What did you have to overcome personally early on?
So it's abandonment, and I'm still honestly still do counseling still. I have written a book about it actually. My father left my mom at 9 months when I was 9 months, and my mom left me with my family to raise me when I was 2, 3 years old. So that feeling of abandonment and then everything that preceded because of those choices have profoundly changed my life, and not in a po I mean, I've made it into a positive, not in a positive way. You know, I think until this day, I think there's parts of belonging that we never really quite get to experience. And for a lot of people who grew up with childhood trauma and abuse, you really never quite get to. It's not something you can go back and redo it, you know. So you're always overcoming. You always carry that little child with you wherever you go. Yeah, it's crazy. I feel like now I get to nurture that child, which is me, but yeah, I think the childhood, no stability is like having no foundation. So you don't know who you are, you don't know where do you belong, where do you fit in, right? It seemed like the basic things that most people have or start out in life with, which even if you're very poor, you still have a parent, you know, that's there fighting for you. So I think that was my biggest struggle. And I still believe overcoming to this day.
No, that's definitely I have similar issues, and I feel like it's something that's always going to present itself, and I think that's kind of it's part of my journey. That's when I was like, all right, God, I could do this. I can remember who I am. Send me down. Tag me in. I want the human experience. I knew all that was coming, and I was willing to do that. How do you think like that experience really plays into who you are today? Because I know I would not, I am so grateful no matter how much I have to process this. Like, I'm so glad for the choices that were made when I was a kid, because I would never be this person. I wouldn't have the podcast.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be.
So I've had different moments where I felt that like extreme profound gratitude. And then 2 years ago, I lost my best friend, which was like my best friend. Like, you hardly to meet good people that you connect. And then when you do, then you lose them in a tragic way. It kind of shook my ground a little bit. I feel like I'm still getting my bearings again.
Oh, for sure.
Because otherwise it's just anger, right? Like, so it instead of a foundation of love and family, there is a place, it's a hollow words anger. Or fear that will happen again. That's the three most natural things that our brain intend to do. So I felt that gratitude at once, and at times I find myself asking God, like, okay, but like, this is too much for one person. Do I am grateful to be who I am, but like, dang, this is too much for one person. Like, so it's really mixed. And time of the month I'm in. Sometimes I'm like really grateful, and sometimes I'm still working through it. Yeah, I think ever since losing her, I feel like it's been a bit of a shaking ground, because it just goes to show how bad the world is, right? And it's not just my parent, your parent, it's just everybody, even ourselves. If we allow ourselves, we have a bad part of us that can come out, you know? And so I think that realization kind of, sometimes puts me in a bad place, because I grew up with such a big heart. I would like take my shoes off and give it to a random person in the street. My aunt raised me to be that way. So it's hard to come into my age now and understand a lot of the decisions that were made, because I have children on my own that I wouldn't make those decisions, but not the same, raised in the same way. They're so mature wise, like we mature so much faster because of the trauma. So it's strange. Like, I am grateful to be who I am, and I don't know how to be anything else. But would I want to go back and change it if I could? Yes, I would love to grow up with loving parents and family, and I think that's still a little girl's dream in my heart, you know?
I feel like that's kind of the part of two things being true. Like I can mourn the idea of what it would be like to be raised by loving parents or to never have my, so I can mourn that, especially, being a parent, because it's like every stage I've ever gone through, I'm like, how could she have done that? How could she have done that? How could she do that? And now, I'm in the role of like way past all of that, and it's like, man, I wish I had a mom to kind of show me what how to parent my kids now, because my two oldest, I have six, my two oldest have moved out and they're doing their own thing, and like
Oh my,
my
I'm
world
not
flips.
ready.
No, girl,
So
like
not ready.
my world flips upside down, and I mourn the fact that I can't call my mom and be like, hey, so this is happening and this is how I'm feeling and I'm freaking the hell out, like tell me it's gonna be okay. But I feel like, how does, like, what is the role that faith really plays when it comes to rebuilding your life and finding your footing? 'Cause I get it. There's times where we're human. We're gonna be pissed at God. We're not gonna understand. Things aren't gonna make sense. We are in the arena. That means that pain is here. That means that our feelings are gonna be hurt, but it also means there is so much beauty and so much love within us and around us. Like I lock myself in that, and he's the guide now. I'm like, okay, well, I can't call my mom and ask her how to deal with the 23-year-old and that new shift in our relationship. So, God, you got to give me answers, and I've leaned, I think, heavier into him because I can't call anybody else.
And see, is I just lean into him wherever I am at in that moment. And I don't know if you had a chance to watch the episode that came out in Woman in Power. It features my full life story a bit more detail, but I lean into him wherever I'm at in that moment. There's no secrets between him and I, and there's no walking in eggshells either. Like, I think a lot of people, like, if you want a real relationship with your spouse, you have to learn to speak to them where they are at, and you learn who they are. And I feel like with God is the same thing. And I know that there is nothing that I can say or do that will have him turn away from me. So therefore, the fear, which is the first thing that the enemy uses to keep us from God, Oh, you've gone too far, you've done too much, or you haven't prayed in weeks. It does not matter. Cast it out in the name of Jesus. I got goosebumps. But the fear is the first thing that keeps us from going to God. So, and then know that He wants us to go. Like He wants a 23-year-old to call you and say, Mom, I'm really struggling. Like she's in tears or he's in tears. I don't know if it's a boy or girl, but
Girl.
you will love that. Even if they were in distress, even if they were angry at you, you would prefer that they call than them not, right? And I feel like that's the approach I have. So it doesn't matter. I could be driving, I could be in the shower, I could be in bed, I could be with someone that makes me extremely uncomfortable. And I'm gonna call on God, even if oh my God, all right, help me figure this out. Who's this person about? How can I help them? Or are they here to help me? And yeah, I mean, honestly, a lot of my favorite times have been late at night, like 2, 3 in the morning, in the shower, alone with God, like face down to the ground and completely broken, because I'm not afraid of what's coming, because I know no matter what happens, He has me.
I
And that's
love
the
that.
security that like our toddlers have when we raise our hand and say, come on, right? And they get up and go. I feel like it's the same. I'm not afraid to come to Him, whether I'm scared, whether I'm hurt, whether I made a stupid mistake of my life. I'm not afraid. And I think that's what a lot of says that he's like, yeah, you don't have parents, but you develop pretty awesome relationship with God. Because I remember from like 5 years old hiding under the bed and saying, God, please protect me. No, I'm like, don't let them find me. And so it's just every place that I am, I bring God with me in there. Does that make sense?
I love that.
And it's been easier, but it makes it doable and it gives me the confidence to get it done. Because otherwise, if I look for myself, I sometimes don't have what I need to get to whatever that I'm doing. Like you said, like Ray, like I have a 13-year-old. And sometimes I'm like, I wish I could call my mom and said, how did you handle this? And so I do. I go to God. Like we've been in the middle of this very interesting situation. And I'm God, how do you want me to handle? And I've been praying. And until He tells me to move, I won't move. Whether it's for like educating or correcting her or, and not that God will give me the instructions, but it's more of like a peace feeling. And then does it align with His word? Right. So it's like a peace feeling. Okay, this is the outcome. Does this align with His word? Yeah, then that's it.
That's amazing.
Anything that follows is the devil, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He can only steal something that was already given. So when you hear, even if it's just a peace or, okay, I'm going to let the situation go, or I'm going to handle it this way, the first impression that you get is God. The second is the enemy, because he wants to steal that and then make you doubt and question your ability. So yeah, the first voice is God. Second one usually is the enemy.
Nope, that makes a lot of sense. Why was it, Runa, for you, why has it been so important for you to build something deeper than just income?
I was a child who didn't have anything, and honestly, not even income. Like I grew up sleeping on the floor, couch surfing between family members, And the least thing I was worried about was income. I want a safety. I want a love and being cared for, And now I have built, of course, safety for me and my girls being a single parent. Now I'm remarried, but I built the safety I thought I needed for me and my girls, but I still go back when, all I needed was safety. And I have worked with the homeless for over 15 years here in the Myrtle Beach. I've worked in children's home with abandoned kids, abused kids. And I can guarantee you, none of them are worried about finance. The kids who are worried about the finance are usually the spoiled ones. The ones who are lacking love, the one thing they want is warmth, is love, is embrace, is a parent. That's why, I mean, and then of course, my girls growing up, I'm a big stickler for it. You can make money, but where's your soul going to end up? You know what I mean? Like if you have to trade it for money, then it's not worth it. So first the heart, and then everything else follow, because the blessings of God do follow us, so we can bless others. And now I can bless other young moms beginning, other young adults, young teenagers beginning, because I have to bless. But the main goal that I have, I think, is the word of God. You know, I think that's what really heals and deliver us and free us from really the captivity of our mind.
Yeah. What does building a life really mean to you beyond just owning that property and when you're helping people go through that relocating or helping them through this process, where does what it means to you kind of reflect back in them? Where are you seeing the pattern?
Oh my God, I love it. We just closed on a contract. And I'll put it in perspective. House was 375. Their budget was 340, 335 at most. House is clearly worth 400,000. We went through a big negotiation, got it approved for 335, almost $50,000 less than what she would have paid, all with having a good negotiation, good support, you know, a good real estate. But above all, she's pregnant, and they're expecting their first baby. This is their first home. We've seen 20 properties, and I was so dedicated to, like, this is what they want, you know. But aside from her being one of my best friends, which I think it doesn't, you know, it keeps it much connected. But that moment when they walk in and they're like, you can see it in their face, and they're like, okay, this is it. And you're helping someone build a foundation, whether it's a new family, right? We've done that. I have helped, you know, people relocate in snowbirds from New Jersey, Boston. Eventually their kids grow up and then they're moving down. And it's so beautiful because they're lost, you know, and they're like in their 50s and they're like, so do you know good places? All we've
That's
ever
right.
done is take care of our kids. I just have a great appreciation for each phase of life. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And it's just so beautiful to hear everyone's stories. Like, everyone has a story. It is incredible. And to be just a small little piece and help them achieve that, it's been life-changing. And I feel like every person God brings my way, from friends to people afar, have touched my life tremendously. Tremendously. Like, I tell people all the time, even if I didn't get paid, I probably will continue to do real estate, because I just love it. There's just something so beautiful about it. But again, I'm also at a point where I have a successful running business. We're in the process of running an app. So this really has become a passion, and I've put, you know, as a passion, because it's beautiful to see people raising things, you know, and building. We have sometimes people pass away or there is a divorce, you know, like, it's not all pretty. But I feel like even then they still get to shine Jesus in their life and give them a vision forward without feeling lost, you know?
I love that. And I mean, you said everything that kind of captures why I have this show, because everybody has a story. Everybody has a story, and I think not enough people are stepping up to speak theirs. And I think that that's what makes a huge difference in the world. You said in the beginning that the world is kind of ugly. I mean, it kind of is, but then also it's incredibly beautiful. And if we didn't see that ugly side, we wouldn't appreciate these stories. And the more people that we can get in a container where we get to hear their stories, even you are personal with people. I mean, I bought a house. I pretty much you're standing in front of someone. They've got everything in their hand. They know everything about you, right? Like the whole history now. And so I feel like it's kind of the same thing. But spot on for my audience. Like everybody has a story. Either you're going to be sharing yours or you're collecting them to help share, So I think that's awesome. Why do you think, or where do you see people self-sabotaging when they're trying to build something for themselves?
I will speak for myself from that one. So the biggest way I self-sabotaged myself was, I had this belief system that because my parents didn't love me, nobody else would. And it was like, if for anybody, if you read the Bible, a lot of people talk about Paul when he prayed. He said, God, for three times I asked, take this from me, this thorn from my side. And you have told me your grace is enough. So God didn't remove it, but God gave his grace for him to be able to endure it. And I get really goosebumps if I talk about this. I think my biggest way of self-sabotage was not believing that I could be worthy of love. Even from myself, I feel like that's been the biggest part, like accepting the mistakes I've made to find love, to find myself, to find God, accepting where I'm at, accepting the people in my life, regardless of their qualities, perfection and imperfection. But above all, accepting that before I was even born, I was already loved through Jesus Christ. You know, even if the whole world forgot me, I was still loved by him and he would have never forgot me. And if a perfect person can love me, who is unperfect in every way, then I sure as heck can love myself, you know?
I love
So
that.
I think I'm still learning. Like my husband and I, 5 years married, and we still sometimes it's like, yeah, there you go. I love you. And I think teaching my 13-year-old daughter the other day, we do struggle with feeling love. Women really, really do. And it's a way the enemy finds it to keep us bound. But I break and I speak the blood of Jesus over everyone who's listening, myself, you, and everyone included. In Jesus' name, we are free from that. Christ has loved us on that cross, regardless of who we are or what we've done. And that is enough love that we need from a perfect person who we you know, and who can love me. Like, that is the most absolute form of love that can be found. Yeah, I hope
I
that
very
you
much agree.
didn't feel it. It's a journey and it's a discovery, but it's beautiful for sure.
What would you, we're coming up now, so my last question for you right now is for the listener. What would you say to my listener who is sitting there right now and they really want more out of life? They care about their legacy. They want to build something, but they don't know where to start. What's your advice for them?
So I would tell you this. If you don't know where to start, grab a clear piece of paper and a pen and write down your name, right? That's the first thing about you that you know. You can write your age after, and then maybe your vocation, your job. And then from there, you can write out the first thing that you would like to give to God. It could be a pain, it can be a hurt, it could be a dream, it could be a vision. But I want you to write that down, write the date, and then pray. Put that in God. If you don't have a Bible, you can contact me. I'll send you a Bible for free. I would advise stick with that every day for 7 days. 7 days. If you want to change a behavior, like I said, if it's a hurt, if it's a wound, if it's forgiveness, but sit with that message every day. And then every day you sit with God for 10 minutes. No music, no nothing, no people. Just sit with that message, sit with God, and ask God to help you understand, will help you forgive, help you move on. Ask the Holy Spirit into your heart and ask Him to help you make sense of this. You know, and if you have not, you can pray this prayer. And it's Jesus, I accept you in my life and accept your sacrifice to save my life. Help me get to know you. And that's really all you have to do to get started. I promise you, God will bring someone. God will bring a book, a video, a show, a song, a bird. Listen, God has brought a bird to me. God will bring something to confirm this message, and you will know that's God. And that's like, again, goosebumps all over, right? Like, He will confirm that He's speaking to you. Keep your heart open. And don't stop. Don't, you know, there's people in this world that needs you. And the last thing I want you to do is give up from someone who wanted to many times. The last thing I want you to do is give up because you are here. And if you are listening, you have a story. And I want you to share it. You know, let God work that through your heart and then share it. It's been an absolute honor. And I pray this encourages you guys.
Yeah, I love that. How can people get resourced with you? Where can they find you?
So we are Coastal Phoenix team at Innovate in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. The phone number is 843-790-RISE. So 7473 if you look in the in the board. You can reach us by email, coastalphoenixteam@gmail.com. You can also follow my page, Bruna Pabon. You can follow Coastal Phoenix Team at Innovate on Facebook. We have Instagram. My second business, Super Cleaners, we're only local, but we do service residential, post-construction, things like that. So you can find it all in my Bruna Pabon page. It's all linked there. If you need help, if you like to speak to someone, prayer, I would love to be able to encourage you. We get lots of messages, message in there, but overall, like I said, that paper that you have, let that be what pushes you forward. You know, like sometimes we have to write it down, bring it out of us so we can see it in front of us, see it to believe it type of thing. And if I can help, if you need a Bible, you want to know more about Jesus, please contact me too. It does not have to be business. I'll be glad to hear from anyone.
I love that. Bruna, this is the part of the show where I get to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not just that you built the businesses, it's that you rebuilt your life. You took everything that you've been through and you're turning it into something that is stable, something that brings meaning, and something that is creating just opportunity and hope for other people. You didn't do it alone. I love that you make it very clear that there is a foundation here, building that with faith, with your family, with intention. I think that's going to be a beautiful legacy. I think that's powerful, and it does speak to the testament of resilience. And that is something I can tell you represent. To everyone listening, you guys were not created just to survive. God didn't bring you through everything you've been through just for you to play small. Like, you are meant to build something, something that is rooted, something that lasts, but you have to be honest and you have to be intentional. And please remember that
Yes.
your mess is your message. Even the adversity, even the rebuilding, even the seasons where everything feels uncertain and you question God, that is where He helps you build your authority. And if you've
Amen.
been feeling that pull to use your voice to share your story or to build something from that place, definitely reach out to me, okay? If you're ready to get in the hot seat, you guys know where to reach me. For now, if you feel that calling to reach out with Bruna, please make sure you share this episode with someone that could use her message. Maybe someone you know is going through it who needs that little foundation, because I very much agree with her. There is no way I would be sitting here had I not called on God to come into my life, to be able to wake up every day and say, Jesus, I can't handle this, and let him carry some of that weight and to help steward the mission. So I'm just saying, you're not doing it alone. You have people like Bruno who are going to help walk you through that and to help you bring it to Christ. So please make sure you share the episode so she can reach the people that really want to hear her message. And if you guys are ready for the hot seat, come tell me why you're special. Thank you so much for your time today.
Bye.